Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I think they'll hit the over. Why do I think they'll hit the over? Well, one, six, asking them to win six games is not the world, for crying out loud. Two, I go back to 2020. 2020. 2023 was a different story. You had to throw the ball around. That was nuts. That was a wild time. 2020, line up, run the ball. Yeah, you don't have Nick Chubb. I get that, at least not right now. Hopefully they will, even though, I don't know, Lima's saying I ought to just move on. Like I'm the mom in Saturday Night Fever. Their son's not going back to the church. Anywho, they'll line up, they'll run the ball. They'll get in 12 personnel. They don't have many wide receivers. They got young quarterbacks. Hold on to the ball. Run the ball. That wins you football games in the regular season. That could keep you employed in the regular season. If you can put together a run game in the NFL that's decent, it doesn't have to be the greatest thing ever, even though Nick Chubb's one of the greatest running backs we've ever seen in a Browns uniform. If you can put together a running game that's even decent, you can win enough games to keep yourself employed, at least for another year, depending on where you're at in your contract, right? They'll win more games because they'll eliminate turnovers. They won't shoot themselves in the foot. They will lose. They'll lose more than they win. But this will not be, if they can run the ball, this will not be that bad. So they're planning on running the ball. They took two running backs and they got two young quarterbacks. They're planning on running the damn thing. So they're going to grind these things out. Hopefully let other teams beat themselves by turning the ball over against them, and they'll win a couple of games they shouldn't. They'll get blown out a couple of times. That's what happens too, but they'll win a couple of games they shouldn't.
I guess, Kenny, like everything you just said makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. That is within, you know, the sweet spot of a Kevin Stefanski coach team. If he doesn't have to adjust for a quarterback coming off an injury that was supposed to be this and couldn't do this. Like, Kevin Stefanski just running his stuff. Everything you said just makes sense. But what we never factor in these discussions is when the season is going to go off the rails, when you're on to quarterback four, yeah, and when everybody's got a foot out the door, which happens in almost every one easy of these situations. We're not the Steelers where we can always hover around 500 no matter what.
I understand that.
We've just never been that team. We're the team that when stuff starts going south, it seems like an impossibility for the team to finish up strong.
I don't know if it's going to finish up strong. I'm just letting you know what they're planning on doing. You got two young quarterbacks. One can throw the ball through the wall, but he's 5'10", so I don't know if he's going to be able to torque up and have enough time to let it go. Shador, we know about Shador. You're not going to want to put them in high turnover situations. You're going to keep their confidence up. Keeping your confidence is turning around, handing the ball off, getting a second down and six. And then hopefully getting yourself to third down and manageable. And then moving the ball, keeping the ball in your hands, and getting it to two possessions by the fourth quarter and putting the pressure on the other team. Because now we have, how many great quarterbacks are in the league? Three? So if you're going quarterback to quarterback, there's going to be plenty of times where you're taking on a dud. Okay, let's see if you can lead them to victory with two possessions left and one timeout and 7 minutes left to go in this game. We'll put the pressure on you to see if you can do that, because I'm willing to bet you can't do it. More on that at another time. Bill Belichick's a legend. ain't no way I'm sending my son to go play for this guy. This is from last Sunday, CBS Sunday Morning. This is...
I'd argue he's more of a legend today than he was before the story came out.
Their report, this is... Go ahead, hit the audio everybody's talking about.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
See, you kind of have to tell us how you met, because now my mind is going to race about how you met, and it's not going to go to great places, to be honest with you.
Think about the whole... Absolutely, first of all.
I'm not going to say anything I'm thinking.
You don't have to go in depth about
it.
I think everyone knows what
church.
You're putting out there.
I'm saying I'm thinking church.
Yes. So think about what's happened here. The hold that she has on him. That when did they meet? A couple of years ago?
They met on a plane, according to him.
Okay.
In all honesty,
what he said. If you were waiting for the definitive Bill Belichick book, you finally got it, and you want to hear about the Super Bowl run, when it all started, the defensive coordinator stuff, coaching Lawrence Taylor, all the way up to Dynasty, Tom Brady, how it ended, the secret sauce of all of that.
Yeah.
He's already written about her in the book. She's
the
made the book.
She's muse.
She has a reference in the definitive
there you go.
Bill Belichick autobiography already in there.
But we can do
she
this.
She was when he won his first Super Bowl as a head coach, she was 2 years old.
I can do
she's in the book.
How they I can do this, how they met for the rest of the show. I can't. Because I have to ask. You ask, I ask, we gotta ask. Would I let my son go play at North Carolina right now? If I had no other choice, obviously, but that's not the exercise. If you're able to play at North Carolina, you probably have a choice. Bill Belichick's a legend, and I should be dying to send my kid to go play for Bill Belichick. I'm going to go send my kid somewhere else in the ACC, and I'm going to hope that he plays well enough where Belichick in an interview afterwards or a press conference afterwards go, I like the number 20. I like that kid. And then he mentioned your son. I'll let him play at NC State. This whole thing, it's getting to shaky wheels stuff. Like I've been saying, hey, you say whatever you want to about the guy's girlfriend and his personal life. They still got to line up and play football on Saturdays, and he could still go 9-3, and that's a successful year, depending on the talent that he has. But it's seemingly shaky, and like Mike Lombardi got a call and then hung up, and it's getting weird, and when you're getting back to Mike Lombardi land and Matt Patricia land and all the other stuff, where I know Matt Patricia isn't there right now, obviously, but when you're getting back to all the old thoughts, it wasn't successful at the end. And I don't think that they're going to be too terribly successful, and so what's the worth of it? If you're not going to be able to do it, then I'd rather just be in a better program somewhere else, and if you can prove that it's a good program, maybe we could transfer out, but nah, nope. No.
By the way,
I don't need to be a part of this part of the legend's life.
Think about the fact that Shador Sanders is being criticized for where's his focus? He's got all this media stuff. Bill Belichick is selling a book right now. He's got this 27-year-old dictating everything.
24.
Or 24, which she's only 24.
She's only 24.
Oh, so she wasn't even born when they won their first Super Bowl. And she's in the book. Think about that. If you are going to criticize Shador Sanders for being unfocused, how focused of a first-year college football coach does it look like Bill Belichick is right now?
That's a hell of a point.
Is anybody wondering what the hell he's doing?
Are you really comparing Shador Sanders
yes.
and football
yes,
to Bill
is.
Belichick?
Yes, he is. But it's a great point.
He's never coached. College football
he's
before.
Bill
it's a
Belichick.
Different sport.
He's still Bill Belichick.
What does that
He's
got to
still
do with
the
anything?
Greatest coach that is
yeah.
in this lifetime.
And one of the greatest taskmasters who have ever lived. No days off. Eliminate all distractions.
Hell yeah. Does this now not look like a distraction? Few days, and that's cool.
Yeah, he's taking a few days.
Cool, brother.
And if he were still the old Bill Belichick, which is the younger Bill Belichick, I would send my son to
go
him.
Out to
but,
top,
if,
so.
But if you're telling me that there's distractions and you're telling me there are days off, no. I don't want to be around you. Give me a guy like Dave Doran, who's working his ass off every single year to try to put together, to try to stitch together a team that can win 9 games at NC State where everybody wants him fired. I want a guy who's really fully in on it. Give me somebody else in the ACC.
How much time is he even spent?
Don't send him to North Carolina.
I'm not talking about the Sun. I'm talking about comparing Shedeur Sanders and Bill Belichick in football.
I can imagine me being excited as a Belichick fan. I am. But I think what Lima said is true.
How much time is he even spent on campus?
This guy's working out and talking to kids here in Cleveland, Ohio. What's the other guy doing? Defending his
muse. Well, he was obviously talking to a kid on an airplane, and now they're dating.
Got Greg Anthony who joins us at 8:25 this morning. Yeah, I think you just answered your own question with that statement right there. It's Shedeur Sanders isn't nearly Lima. That's a hell. You should do Champions Pose. That's a hell of a point you just made.
I hate it.
But I will send my kid somewhere else. I mean, it's maybe not my choice. Maybe my kid makes a choice. Right?
I hope your kid gets one D1 offer from Bill Belichick, and you go, you can't go there because he dated a girl.
I would seriously consider.
His kid's going to go to John Carroll instead.
No, yeah. I would look at it and go, fine.
And then he'll be a coach in the NFL for 40 years.
I'd have to question going, this guy's never been a college head football coach. He's offered my son, who does not have any other D1 offer. Does he really know what he's doing? Does he really know that? Because more than likely, my son is going to play his first year. So maybe this isn't the best situation
for him.
Have
you seen
his some of the guys that have only had one D1 offer and are in the NFL right now? Josh Allen?
Yeah, I know that.
Have you seen his coaching staff?
Yeah.
I try not to look at that. I'm looking at
other
things.
It's a who's who of putting the band back together.
I mean, just Natron Means.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
We got Jamie Collins. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, we do have Mike Prefer.
Yep.
We do have Mike Prefer's daughter does a terrific job on the local news. She does a great job. Matt Lombardi, quarterback's coach. We know about who the GM is, Mike Lombardi.
Yeah.
Not to mention we've got Steve Belichick, who is what, the coach in waiting?
I can't wait till you get to the inside linebackers
coach. Former NFL defensive coordinator, Steve Belichick.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking Jamie Collins.
Bob Diaco is the defensive line coach. He's nuts. Brian Belichick, his last name, and then you got Jamie Collins as your inside linebacker coach. I mean, Freddie's your offensive coordinator.
Now, wait a second.
Do we need to say more?
If Pops is dating a 24-year-old,
yep.
Should I be scared?
Don't. Hey, man, you know, some guys date guys, girls who are a lot younger. I told you about my dad's girlfriend. I came upstairs and go, hello.
Is she good at recruiting?
We'll find out. I mean, signups are open now for Streetsboro Youth Football, so I might need to go.
Oh, who are you having help you with that? Getting any cool videos coming
in? Hey, we'll see. We will see.
I can't wait to tell those great Cleveland Browns fans who their champion
shut up.
Reaching out to.
There's fans. There's other fans in the town as well.
You do yours your way, and I'll do mine my way.
I want to prove to everybody how much I love the kids and I love the program. Thank you very much.
You love one guy in particular.
I do not love him, but I'm willing to do what's necessary because I love the kids and I love the pro. I love Streetsboro too damn much. It's like the guy who poisoned the trees. He had too much Bama in him. I got too much Burrow in me.
They both have gold in their color scheme.
On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Turner Sports Series XM. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning. First, Cavaliers, Pacers. How many games do you see this series going? Who wins it?
Well, I will say this, guys. Since I'm going to be calling it, I hope it goes 7. No, I do think this is has the makings to be a very competitive series. Listen, I love what Cleveland's doing. I got to do a few of those games against the Heat as well. They've got great depth, much improved defensively. Their level of physicality has risen this season as well, and that's indicative of why they've been so good. But having said all of that, Indiana's probably the most underrated team in the league. They're the best team in the league that nobody talks about, you know. And I think part of the reason why is, you know, even though Tyrese Haliburton is their best player, nobody really – looks at him as like a guy that can just win a game. He's kind of got that John Stockton appeal, right? Like, you know he's going to have an impact, but you just don't have a fear of him until you see the game at the end, and then he's making all these plays. So I just think this series has the potential to go seven, believe it or not. They've got great balance. Their offense is the best in the league at creating offense. So what do I mean by that? Like, they don't have to rely, like a lot of teams do, on their best players forcing you to compromise your defense. They do it with passing, which is unique in our game today. And it's, as I learned, guarding a guy like John Stockton, it's a lot easier to guard a scorer than it is a passer, right? Like, it really is. And I think that's one thing for the Pacers that makes them so tough. They run the floor, they space it, and they move the ball as well as anybody. So and you talked to Kenny Atkinson, he's ready and knows that this is going to be a challenge in this series. And I think as a basketball fan, you should be excited.
Greg Anthony, who has called both of these teams in the playoffs, so maybe nobody better to have on. And boy, interesting, because you saw two completely different series. As that one was neck and neck, crazy, come from behind win from seven with 40 seconds left in Indiana against Milwaukee the other day. And then the Cavs series, which was the most lopsided in NBA history. So for you to say that this is going seven is very, very interesting, because you saw the best of the best of the Cavs.
Yeah, and the difference is, listen, when you look at the Cavs in the Heat series, the reality is the Cavs had the best player in the series, and you could make a good argument they had the second best player in the series, whereas in the Indy series, the Bucks had the best player in the series. And so that's what at least gave them some hope, even though it still only went five games. But Giannis is an incredible player, hard to really defend. And when you look at the Cleveland series, look, Tyler Hero is a really good player. Bam Adebayo is a really good player. But again, I go back to the fact that neither guy is the type of player that you have to compromise your defense with, right? Like, you know you're not going to be sending a double early at Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo. And when you can defend like that, it makes the game a lot easier. And so that's why there's a contrast in how the series may have turned out. Having said that, the Pacers do. They present a lot of problems. And if you don't just look at the overall record of the Pacers, because remember the first part of the season, they had a lot of injuries. And they don't necessarily have the same kind of roster that the Cavs do. But if you look at the second half of the season, they were elite. Their record tells you that. And so that's why this is not the same team. And that's really kind of the story for our league right now, right? You think about it. You saw what happened with Minnesota. Even though they were a six seed, they didn't look like a six seed at the end of the season. They're advancing. And you get this, you got the Warriors as a seven seed. They don't look like a seven seed going up against the two. And I think the Pacers are a similar dynamic in this second round. But I still think Cleveland, with how they're playing, with how much more they've improved from a year ago, and that's internal growth, right? They made some moves. The DeAndre Hunter move at the trade deadline was monumental. You know, he's really changed the entire fabric of that second unit. Ty Jerome has had an incredible run.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Off the bench as well. So they've got great depth. They can play big. They can play small. But then you factor in the familiarity, right? These are two teams in the same division. They have a history. They played four times this season. And so I think there's going to be a level of respect coming from Cleveland. They do appreciate the fact that this Pacers team They're not going to struggle offensively the way we saw the Miami Heat.
Greg Anthony joining us, Turner Sports. Darius Garland, big toe, it's sprained. If he can't go, what's that do for the Cavaliers and their chances? And then who needs to step up?
Well, they got to do it by committee. Ty Jerome will get an opportunity, obviously, to have more responsibility. But, you know, Darius's speed and playmaking ability is up there with the best in our league. And so when you lose that, I don't care. Even if you can move a guy up like Ty Jerome, you then lose the impact Ty Jerome has coming off your bench. You know, so like it will play a role in this series if he's not able to go, if he's limited. There's no question about it. He's too great a player. Even with great depth, you know, if you lose a guy of that caliber, it's going to substantially impact you. Because, again, as the series goes on, and you guys have seen this and you're following it, you know, it gets harder for your offense to create offense because you played a team four, five, six times. Like, there's nothing new you're going to be doing. Then it really does come down to the ability to win one-on-one matchups. And Darius, like Donovan, they have that ability because of their skill set to be able to score and create against great defense. And so not having him will play a role. There's no question about it. And the other factor that happens that sometimes gets lost with great players, you know, a great player, if he's 2-for-11 in a game, he's not going to change. His mindset doesn't change late in the game. You know, Donovan Mitchell can struggle making shots over the course of the game, but in the fourth quarter, he's still Donovan Mitchell. But and that's the same thing with, I think Darius Garland has gotten to that point. But when you take a guy that maybe isn't a truly, you know, all NBA caliber player, and now all of a sudden maybe he's not playing or shooting it as well, his game can change. You know, that's just the reality in sports. The confidence can wane a little bit. So not having him plays a role. Can they still have success and win games? Of course they can. But it's going to be much more of a challenge to win this series if you don't have one of your best players out on the floor.
Greg Anthony, great perspective right now, breaking down the NBA playoffs with us. So one of the more confounding players in the league, I feel like, is Haliburton. You know, he you never know from game to game how much he's going to shoot it. He only shot 27% from three in that series, but yet with the game on the line, got by Giannis, had some big defensive plays. It's just you never know what you're going to get out of him. So how big of a series is this for him, and how do you think he matches up with the Cavaliers?
Well, you know, it's a great point, and that's kind of the point I was making, right? Wasn't really playing or shooting it with great confidence over the course of the game, but when it matters most, he can still be who he is. And the advantage he has, and the reason I use a guy like John Stockton, is the beauty of his game isn't that he needs to score 30 to have the same kind of impact on it. You know, his game, he gives everybody confidence because he's the guy that puts the rhythm in their game. Like, he's a willing passer. And when your best player passes it, it becomes contagious. And then it makes everybody else a better passer, a decision maker. So his beauty is how he allows everybody else to play. Listen, he could go take 25 shots a game, but it actually would not make them be as good, you know, because what the greatness of the Pacers group is that they play together well. That's why they typically are at the top of the league in terms of their assists. Look at what's happened for Cleveland this year. The reason why you guys have taken a step in a lot of ways, it's because Donovan has taken a step back, right? He doesn't take as many shots. You know, he's much more trusting and willing, and that's allowed for other guys to grow. You know, Evan Mobley's had a phenomenal year, his growth offensively. So don't discount the ability of the pass. It has a big impact on winning, and that's how Haliburton's wired. He's just the pass-first guy, and he senses when he needs to maybe be a little more aggressive offensively. But he's one of the best players in our league at just playing through flow, meaning he just lets what the game gives take place. He doesn't force it. And a lot of times it makes it harder. I used to, when guarding John Stockton, I used to tell people, I'd much rather guard a scorer because I know what a scorer is going to, he's got the ball, what he's trying to do. But when you got to guard a passer, it's much harder. It's a much harder way to play. And that's why Haliburton has allowed this team to kind of take a step. And again, nobody's talking about him, but man, they're playing some great basketball, and I'm excited. I think this series has the potential to be a really good one. You know, I do give the Cavs the edge. There's no doubt about that. But this Pacers team, they got a lot of belief and confidence coming in, and they're playing as well as anybody.
How much of a blow will it be to the Pacers that Papa Haliburton will not be attending these games, home or away?
Well, listen, Mr. Haliburton, I can appreciate the passion, but that's just unacceptable. And I think they'll be fine. And I really commended Giannis for how he handled it, and also Tyrese for being very candid and honest and acknowledging, look, that's stepping across the line. Like, you know, the thing about that situation, it's so scary. Like, we're looking at it in hindsight now. But, you know, you're a player going through something that Giannis just went through. You're up 7 with 35 seconds to go. You lose that game. You can, and with the emotions and adrenaline running through you, and then you get somebody in your face who you just think is a fan. And you guys remember, it wasn't that long ago when we had the malice in the palace, right? And it's a similar dynamic. That could have very easily escalated. And Giannis said, you know, initially I didn't even know who I thought it was just some crazy fan. And cooler heads prevailed. But that could have been a really ugly scene in what's arguably been one of the best postseasons we've had, right? Like the games outside of your series with Miami, the games have been really competitive. And there's been a lot of adrenaline and excitement. I thought the league might just suspend him for all of next year too, quite honestly, because that's something you just don't want to have, you know, and that's what we call an unforced error. I like that he did come out and apologize. And I think what would have been the better approach. I saw he's come out and done some podcasts. You should just go away and be quiet. Don't bring more attention to it. You know, just go support your son. Like, the worst part of it, too, was your son's the guy that made the plays down the stretch. He scored the last 6 points to win the game. Like, we should have been talking about that, and yet we had to deal with that. I was calling the game. I was shocked because initially I didn't even see what was going on and all of the chaos after the game was over until my producer got my ear and pointed it out, and I was in shock. I just really was. It was an ugly incident. I know Mr. Haliburton is not a bad person. Obviously, he and his wife, they've raised an incredible son. And I can understand you being excited. But as I tell my kids all the time, you got to control your emotions. Because when you're not in control of your emotions, bad things happen. And that was a perfect example.
It gets away from us at times. Greg, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy your time in Cleveland. All the best.
All right, man. I got to go find some good restaurants.
Help him out. You know them all. Tone knows them all.
By the way, I got a text. So your college coach, Jerry Tarkanian, born in Euclid, Ohio, right down the road.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
200 Street.
Yeah, man. Born and raised, man. So I'm a fan. And my wife did a residency in Cleveland as well. So I got some good connection with Cleveland. I'm excited to get there.
That's
awesome.
And the
weather should be decent, right?
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of 3
we'll
ain't
bad. We'll take it.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Greg, thank you for the time.
All right, guys. Take care.
Greg Anthony, Turner Sports, SiriusXM. I ain't going to lie to the guy. Everybody wants honesty until they get honesty. I read a great article yesterday. I guarantee you didn't read it. Bruce Arians wrote an op-ed. He was like, it was a oral history, whatever. And it was in The Athletic. It was about when he went out and he worked out Andrew Luck. And they went out to the field, they worked on some stuff, worked them out, and then they went to the whiteboard, they went back inside, and he gave Andrew Luck a play to work on, and then immediately stopped and goes, that wasn't what I told you. And Andrew Luck's like, that's exactly what you told me. This is the play you told me. And Bruce Arians like, no. And he goes, yeah, that's what you told me. Like, he was assertive. And Bruce Arians said it, because this is how crazy these guys are. Bruce Arians said, yes, I told him the wrong play on purpose because I wanted to see whether or not he checked me on it or not. And he did. And that's the situation that you're going to find yourself in as a quarterback in the NFL, where you have to assert yourself, which is insane to a lot of people, but that's the life they live in. Albert Breer, there's some audio here from Albert talking about a couple of different situations. Now, this is Albert on a not from Afternoon Drive. This is from 98.5 The Sports Hub over in Boston about Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, and his meeting with the New York Giants.
The Giants won. They give players an install, and there are mistakes intentionally put in the install, and he didn't catch them and got called on it, and it didn't go well after that. There was another team that he sat down with.
What do you mean it didn't go well after that?
So, like he was pissed that they did that to him.
He counter-confronted
them.
The
same thing they do to every other quarterback prospect. They did that to him. They slide in a mistake to see if you catch it.
Right. And so,
because you're the quarterback.
But he didn't take it as a correction. He took it as like he got it's pissed off.
It goes a little bit further in here, where Albert Breer, again, 98.5, the sports hub in Boston, said a quote where maybe they're not a fit.
So another one was he throws a bad interception, and it was a deep throw early in the game. And, you know, he comes back and, like, they go in the meeting, they show the interception, and they say, what happened here? Well, you know, I like to get into a rhythm earlier in the game. And, you know, like, they get into it over that, and his conclusion is, well, maybe I'm not a fit for you. And it's like stuff like that. It's like you're sitting in a meeting with an NFL team. You're trying to sell yourself. You're in a job interview. And it's maybe I'm not a what?
So this might be a little bit of a humbling. He says he's not a fit. Well, there might be teams that he's just not a fit with. Now, I don't want to sit there and make excuses for him because I just said to you earlier in the show that I need to wait for him to go out and play before I start to get really defensive of him. I know that these are job interviews. But again, I just told you the situation as Bruce Arians had written it from The Athletic, or said to somebody to write it from The Athletic, where I don't think that these things are all peaches and ice cream. I don't know if it's the interview that people make it out to be. There is such a thing as fit, is there not? Isn't there?
There is. There certainly is. Now, what we also come to find out, like, there are guys that are so good that fit doesn't really matter. They just take over an entire ecosystem. That's Jaden Daniels. Right. And that's CJ Stroud. Like, those teams were in shambles. They were disasters. Nobody was talking about fit. Nobody was like, hey, just plop in a quarterback and they're going to take off. Nobody was saying that. So if any of these quarterbacks are so good that when they walk on the field, it just changes everything. You know, that is that it's hard to believe that considering what happened. But then again, look at Brock Purdy, where he went in the draft. And they almost won a Super Bowl.
Well, it's also going to be true for him. I think Brock Purdy knew that he was going to go late in the draft. I think Shador was under the impression that he was going to go very early in the draft. Very early. And a lot of people are running away from opinions that they had before last week, which is ridiculous. There's a lot of folks who get paid to do what you and I do who are all of a sudden acting like they knew all along he was going to fall to the fifth round. Guys on the radio station here. All of a sudden acting like that. No. You knew what was happening. You knew what you thought was going to happen. You knew what you were arguing at that time. Don't run away from it just because you were wrong. We're all wrong at some point. You want to be right, but you're wrong. This could be a humbling experience. It's got to be up to him. Because I think that there's been a lot of, for whatever reason, the Giants are really trying to do their damnedest to throw him under the bus. They don't even have him as a quarterback. They have Jackson Dart. You've moved on. I don't know if there's fans in New York who are upset they didn't take Shador Sanders, or they don't like Jackson Dart, or they're being compared to the previous history where they took a defensive tackle and then they took Daniel Jones, and in this one they took a defensive end and then they move up and take Jackson Dart, and so there's comparisons being made between the two. I don't know. But it seems like the Giants are calling him every single name in the book, to the point where their own wide receiver is defending him in podcasts right now. All that said, I don't know what's going to happen there. I went in the room. I can't defend what was in the room. If he said it, fine. I guess he's got some humble that he has to deal with here because you're a fifth-round draft choice. And I think he's trying to atone for that and everything that he's doing right now and everything that he's trying to work with, and we'll see next week. I become defensive of him, Tone. But I also know that he's got to go out there and he's got to play well enough to get defensive of him. Because you can be a real nice guy, and I support him talking to kids. I think that having any sort of nefarious thought over him talking to kids, you didn't say this, thank God, so I'm going to say it to you. You're warped, man. That is a warped thought.
Well, it seems like a pile on right now.
And it is a pile on. But let me finish this up real quick. You can be a really good guy and still have no clue what you're doing. Shador could actually be a really nice guy who goes, you know what, maybe I did talk to these teams wrong. And he can go out there and it could all be Sanskrit to him. We don't know. So I want to defend him, but I don't know. I can maybe defend him as a person right now, and maybe I should, but as a quarterback, I can't. I don't know yet. All I know is that he did fall to the fifth round for whatever attitude, for whatever he said, for whether or not he does know football or doesn't know football. He can only start to prove that in a different way. So I don't know if I should go popping off for him if he's not going to be able to back that up. I want him to be able to do it. It looks like he does have some talent.
Do you think he needs to take ownership,
is he going to be able to get over
ownership over this stuff? Or does he just ignore it and worry about football now going forward?
I think
forward?
Right now you ignore it and worry about football going forward. I think it's a great story. Like Baker, and this is a crazy comparison, but go with me on this. Baker didn't have to say anything. I think Baker might have felt this way, but didn't have to say anything until he was justified in Tampa Bay. Until the comeback was there, and we know that he's a good quarterback. How good? Who knows? But a good quarterback, then he could say, you know what? Yeah, in retrospect, I didn't handle some things in Cleveland the right way. I wasn't an adult yet in Cleveland at that time. There were some things that I could have done differently and maybe should have done differently. There's a people don't want to hear it, but there's a bit of an olive branch there. Maybe in a year or two, if Shedeur Sanders does become a good quality quarterback in the NFL, and we don't have to use for two first-round draft picks on a quarterback next year, maybe Shedeur goes, yeah, you know what? Maybe if I could do those meetings all over again, I wouldn't have done them the way it was, but it's a blessing to be here. Those type of things. But I don't think if you come out and you say that now, it's like, well, your interview's over. You ended up with the Browns. You can't change all that. You just need to move forward with the Cleveland Browns and do the very best you can to not just make this football team, but to seize an opportunity. Because I mean, we have the poll going up on the fan. It's all over the place. More people would rather Joe Flacco start the season. Yep. That's still true. But there is a golden opportunity for you to take over. This man is 40 years old. And if you can beat out an also-ran and a guy who was a third-round pick who was a surprise, you may have yourself a shot in this. You need to stay focused on the future.